When Hashem your God brings you into the land that you are about to enter and possess, you shall pronounce the blessing at Mount Gerizim and the curse at Mount Ebal. In the book of Deuteronomy, we see a big contrast over and over between blessings from God for obedience and curses from God for disobedience. Where do you stand today? Do you stand at Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing, because you're walking in obedience to the Lord by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and you, because you love Him, you obey Him? Or are you standing at Mount Ebal and the cursing of God is coming upon you because of the disobedience? Listen in as we unpack this and do a deep dive. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is August 23rd. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 12, 10. See, this day I set before you blessing and curse. Blessing, if you obey the commandments of Hashem your God that I enjoin upon you this day, and curse, if you do not obey the commandments of Hashem your God, but turn away from the path that I enjoin upon you this day and follow other gods whom you have not experienced. When Hashem your God brings you into the land that you are about to enter and possess, you shall pronounce the blessing at Mount Gerizim and the curse at Mount Ebal. Both are on the other side of the Jordan, beyond the west road that is in the land of the Canaanites, who dwell in the Arabah near Gilgal by the terebinths of Moreh. For you are about to cross the Jordan to enter and possess the land that Hashem your God is assigning to you. When you have occupied it and are settled in it, take care to observe all the laws and rules that I have set before you this day. These are the laws and rules that you must carefully observe in the land that Hashem, God of your fathers, is giving you to possess. As long as you live on earth, you must destroy all the sites at which the nations you are to dispossess worship their gods, whether on lofty mountains and on hills or under any luxuriant tree. Tear down their altars, smash their pillars, put their sacred posts to the fire, and cut down the images of their gods, obliterating their name from that site. Do not worship Hashem your God in like manner, but look only to the site that Hashem your God will choose amidst all your tribes as his habitation to establish his name there. There you are to go, and there you are to bring your burnt offerings and other sacrifices, your tithes and contributions, your votive and freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and flocks. Together with your households you shall feast there before Hashem your God, happy in all the undertakings in which Hashem your God has blessed you. You shall not act at all as we are now acting here, every man as he pleases, because you have not yet come to the allotted haven that Hashem your God is giving you. When you cross the Jordan and settle in the land that Hashem your God is allotting to you, and he grants you safety from all your enemies around you, and you live in security, then you must bring everything that I command you to the site where Hashem your God will choose to establish his name. Job 8, 1 to 11, 20. Bildad the Shuhite said in reply, "How long will you speak such things? Your utterances are a mighty wind. Will Hashem pervert the right? Will the Almighty pervert justice? If your sons sinned against him, he dispatched them for their transgression. But if you seek Hashem and supplicate the Almighty, if you are blameless and upright, he will protect you and grant well-being to your righteous home. Though your beginning be small, in the end you will grow very great. Ask the generation past. Study what their fathers have searched out. For we are of yesterday and know nothing. Our days on earth are a shadow. Surely they will teach you and tell you, speaking out of their understanding. Can papyrus thrive without marsh, and rushes grow without water? While still tender, not yet plucked, they would wither before any other grass. Such is the fate of all who forget Hashem. The hope of the impious man comes to naught, whose confidence is a thread of gossamer, whose trust is a spider's web. He leans on his house, it will not stand. He seizes hold of it, but it will not hold. He stays fresh even in the sun. His shoots spring up in his garden. His roots are twined around a heap. They take hold of a house of stones. When he is uprooted from his place, it denies him, saying, I never saw you. Such is his happy lot, and from the earth others will grow. Surely Hashem does not despise the blameless. He gives no support to evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Your enemies will be clothed in disgrace. The tent of the wicked will vanish. Job said in reply, Indeed, I know that it is so. Man cannot win a suit against Hashem. If he insisted on a trial with him, he would not answer one charge in 1,000. Wise of heart and mighty in power, whoever challenged him and came out whole. Him who moves mountains without their knowing it, who overturns them in his anger, who shakes the earth from its place till its pillars quake, who commands the sun not to shine, who seals up the stars, who by himself spread out the heavens and tread on the back of the sea, who made the Bear and Orion and Pleiades and the chambers of the south wind, who performs great deeds which cannot be fathomed and wondrous things without number. He passes me by, I do not see him. He goes by me, but I do not perceive him. He snatches away, who can stop him? Who can say to him, what are you doing? Hashem does not restrain his anger. Under him, Rahab's helpers sink down. How then can I answer him or choose my arguments against him? Though I were in the right, I could not speak out, but I would plead for mercy with my judge. If I summoned him, and he responded, I do not believe he would lend me his ear, for he crushes me for a hair. He wounds me so much for no cause. He does not let me catch my breath, but sates me with bitterness. If a trial of strength, he is the strong one. If a trial in court, who will summon him for me? Though I were innocent, my mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, he would prove me crooked. I am blameless. I am distraught. I am sick of life. It is all one. Therefore, I say, he destroys the blameless and the guilty. When suddenly a scourge brings death, he mocks as the innocent fail. The earth is handed over to the wicked one. He covers the eyes of its judges. If it is not he, then who? My days fly swifter than a runner. They flee without seeing happiness. They pass like reed boats, like an eagle swooping onto its prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, abandon my sorrow and be diverted, I remain in dread of all my suffering. I know that you will not acquit me. It will be I who am in the wrong. Why then should I waste effort? If I washed with soap, cleansed my hands with lye, you would dip me in muck till my clothes would abhor me. He is not a man like me that I can answer him, that we can go to law together. No arbiter is between us to lay his hand on us both. If he would only take his rod away from me and not let his terror frighten me, then I would speak out without fear of him, for I know myself not to be so. I am disgusted with life. I will give rein to my complaint, speak in the bitterness of my soul. I say to Hashem, do not condemn me. Let me know what you charge me with. Does it benefit you to defraud, to despise the toil of your hands while smiling on the counsel of the wicked? Do you have the eyes of flesh? Is your vision that of mere men? Are your days the days of a mortal? Are your years the years of a man, that you would seek my iniquity and search out my sin? You know that I am not guilty, and that there is none to deliver from your hand. Your hands shaped and fashioned me. then destroyed every part of me. Consider that you fashioned me like clay. Will you then turn me back into dust? You poured me out like milk, congealed me like cheese. You clothed me with skin and flesh, and wove me of bones and sinews. You bestowed on me life and care. Your providence watched over my spirit. Yet these things you hide in your heart. I know that you had this in mind, to watch me when I sinned, and not clear me of my iniquity. Should I be guilty, the worse for me, and even when innocent I cannot lift my head. So sated am I with shame and drenched in my misery. It is something to be proud of, to hunt me like a lion, to show yourself wondrous through me time and again. You keep sending fresh witnesses against me, letting your vexation with me grow. I serve my term, and I am my own replacement. Why did you let me come out of the womb? Better had I expired before any eye saw me. Had I been as though I never was, had I been carried from the womb to the grave. My days are few, so desist. Leave me alone. Let me be diverted a while before I depart, never to return. For the land of deepest gloom, a land whose light is darkness. All gloom and disarray, whose light is like darkness. Then Zophar the Naamathite said in reply, is a multitude of words unanswerable? Must a loquacious person be right? Your prattle may silence men. You may mock without being rebuked, and say, my doctrine is pure, and I have been innocent in your sight. But would that Hashem might speak and talk to you himself. He would tell you the secrets of wisdom, for there are many sides to sagacity, and know that Hashem has overlooked for you some of your iniquity. Would you discover the mystery of Hashem? Would you discover the limit of the Almighty? Higher than heaven, what can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know? Its measure is no longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Should he pass by or confine or call an assembly, who can stop him? For he knows deceitful men. When he sees iniquity, does he not discern it? A hollow man will get understanding. When a wild donkey is born, a man. But if you direct your mind and spread forth your hands toward him, if there is iniquity with you, remove it, and do not let injustice reside in your tent. Then, free of blemish, you will hold your head high, and when in straits, be unafraid. You will then put your misery out of mind. Consider it as water that has flowed past. Your life will be brighter than noon. You will shine like the morning. You will be secure, for there is hope. And entrenched, you will rest secure. You will lie down undisturbed. The great will court your favor, but the eyes of the wicked pine away. Escape is cut off from them. They have only their last breath to look forward to. 1 Corinthians 15:1-28. Now let me, Paul, remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then and still do now, for your faith is built on this wonderful message. And it is this good news that saves you, if you firmly believe it. Unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins. Just as the scripture said, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died by now. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, I saw him too, long after the others, as though I had been born at the wrong time. For I am the least of all the apostles, and I am not worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church of God. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than all the other apostles, Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach. The important thing is that you believed what we preached to you. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ was not raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your trust in God is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still under condemnation for your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ have perished. And if we have hope in Christ only for this life, we are the most miserable people in the world. But the fact is that Christ has been raised from the dead. He has become the first of a great harvest of those who will be raised to life again. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, Adam, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, Christ. Everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, the first man. But all who are related to Christ, the other man, will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised first. Then, when Christ comes back, all his people will be raised. After that, the end will come, when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having put down all enemies of every kind. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scriptures say, God has given him authority over all things. Of course, when it says authority over all things, it does not include God himself, who gave Christ his authority. Then, when he has conquered all things, the Son will present himself to God, so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. Psalm 38:1-22. O Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger. Don't discipline me in your rage. Your arrows have struck deep and your blows are crushing me. Because of your anger, my whole body is sick. My health is broken because of my sins. My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sins. I am bent over and racked with pain. My days are filled with grief. A raging fever burns within me, and my health is broken. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. You know what I long for, Lord. You hear my every sigh. My heart beats wildly, my strength fails, and I am going blind. My loved ones and friends stay away, fearing my disease. Even my own family stands at a distance. Meanwhile, my enemies lay traps for me. They make plans to ruin me. They think up treacherous deeds all day long. But I am deaf to all their threats. I am silent before them as one who cannot speak. I choose to hear nothing, and I make no reply. For I am waiting for you, O Lord. You must answer for me, O Lord my God. I prayed, "Don't let my enemies gloat over me or rejoice at my downfall." I am on the verge of collapse, facing constant pain. But I confess my sins. I am deeply sorry for what I have done. My enemies are many. They hate me, though I have done nothing against them. They repay me evil for good and oppose me because I stand for the right. Do not abandon me, Lord. Do not stand at a distance, O God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. Proverbs 21:28-29. A false witness will be cut off, but an attentive witness will be allowed to speak. The wicked put up a bold front, but the upright proceed with care. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Deuteronomy chapter 11, and I want to do a deep dive on verse 29, where it is written, "When Hashem your God brings you into the land that you are about to enter and possess, you shall pronounce the blessing at Mount Gerizim and the curse at Mount Ebal. Both are on the other side of the Jordan, beyond the west road that is in the land of the Canaanites, who dwell in the Arabah near Gilgal by the terebinths of Moreh." So there's a theme going on here. Blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And Moses is making this comparison and this contrast over and over again. And it's literally engraved in the very landscape and geography of where they're going to go. So down in the valley between these two mountains is a town called Ancient Shechem. And Shechem is where Joseph's bones are buried. They're in a tomb. And remember, when he died, he was in Egypt, but his last wishes that he told to his sons were, "Don't leave my bones in Egypt. When you leave Egypt, take my bones and put them in the land." And they are in Shechem. Now, these two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing, Mount Gerizim, and the Mount of Cursing, Mount Ebal, they're not huge mountains, they're just like very large hills. And in the valley between them is the town of Shechem. And so what he had them do was six tribes went up to the top of Mount Gerizim and they spoke the blessings that God would do for their obedience. And then the other six tribal leaders went to the top of Mount Ebal and they spoke the curses that God would do for their rebellion and disobedience. So in Deuteronomy chapter 29, these blessings and curses are unpacked in great detail. I'll share a little bit of that with you. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, starting in verse 1, "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab before they've crossed the river Jordan and gone into the land." They're renewing their covenant in Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Moses calls all the people together, and he says to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day." In other words, they are spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, and their heart is like a heart of stone. And he goes on to say in verse 5, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out. Your sandals have not worn out. You have not eaten bread. You have drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God." So he goes on to say in verse 9, "Therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." And it goes on to say, "All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water." And it goes on to say in verse 14, "I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as him who is not here with us today." That includes you and me. We are included in this covenant. We were not there on that day when these words were spoken by Moses to the children of Israel. But that verse that I just shared is saying that those who were not there are included in this covenant. And it goes on to talk about all the different blessings that they would receive. And then also the curses that would happen to them. And then in chapter 30, again, the comparison and the contrast. Chapter 30 of Deuteronomy says, "Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you In other words, you've been scattered and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and all your soul. The Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. That's a promise he makes back in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And that's exactly what God has done. Up until May of 1948, the Jewish people were scattered to all the nations of the earth. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, actually a couple of thousand years, they were no longer a nation. And yet somehow their culture, their language was preserved. They kept the Torah, they followed the Torah, they read the Torah reading cycle, and somehow their identity as a people and their culture was preserved. And in May of 1948, the miracle happened, and the nation of Israel was reborn, and something like 8 million Jews now live in Israel. He has regathered them, ingathered them. So how does this apply to us today? There's a blessing for obedience, and there's curses and consequences for disobedience and for rebellion. And so we obey because we love him. We don't do it out of duty or obligation. We're certainly not able to be obedient to the commands and the decrees and the laws of God's covenant in our own self and our own flesh and our own efforts. We will fall and we will fail every time. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we have been born again, and we, because we love him, we obey him, that is Jesus, then there are blessings for our obedience to him. And there are curses that people come under when there's disobedience. So the question is for us today is, where are we standing? Are we standing at Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing? Or are we standing at the Mount Ebal, the Mount of Cursing? Where do you stand today? May you be under God's blessing and his favor, because you love him and you obey him. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Yevarechacha Adonai Vishmarecha Yayeh Adonai Panavilakha Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayasein Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.